This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Joy Powers, and thank you so much for joining us. Today, we'll hear from a healthcare worker who received the COVID-19 vaccine. We'll hear from voters about what they're hoping from the Biden administration. And we'll hear from a bike shop owner about how business has been impacted by the pandemic. As the COVID-19 vaccine becomes more widely available, there are still a lot of unanswered questions about what it will really mean for our lives. Many of us are looking forward to returning to life as normal, but it's become clear that things won't be normal for quite some time. And even as we push forward with vaccinations, some people are hesitant about getting it and concerned that if they don't get it, they could face discrimination at work. Barbara Zabawa is a clinical assistant professor at UW-Milwaukee, and she joins me now to answer some of these questions. Barbara, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect.
Thanks for having me.
Can you be fired if you don't get the vaccine?
Well, possibly, yes. Before anyone gets terminated for refusing a vaccine, there would have to be some consult with legal counsel to ensure that there aren't any legal hurdles that haven't been considered before terminating someone. The Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, which is the federal agency that guides employers when it comes to the vaccine, for example, and potential discrimination claims, which is the primary legal concern when you terminate someone or discipline someone for refusing the vaccine. They have said that it's possible to exclude such individuals from the workplace, but they emphasize in their guidance that they issued in December of last year, so just a month ago, that termination would need to be considered quite seriously, all the different types of legal concerns when you decide to terminate someone. But excluding them from the workplace is definitely possible. And what that means or looks like is going to, you know, vary by workplace, but they certainly are trying to draw a balance between keeping other employees safe at work with making sure people are getting vaccinated or at least following other alternatives versus respecting people's individual rights and potential health concerns from the vaccine.
So let's unpack that a bit. You talked a bit, I believe, about exemptions. There are some people who can't get vaccines for a variety of reasons. What are some of these exemptions?
Yes, I think the two primary ones that you'll hear most about are either a disability-related exemption, so an underlying health condition or health concern that prohibits someone from wanting to get the vaccine or being able to get the vaccine. And the second type that I think you'll hear a lot are religious-based objections to the vaccine. And both of those objections, the disability-related and the religious-based objection, have protections under our civil rights laws. And so the disability-related ones are protected under the Americans with Disabilities Act and equivalent state laws. And then the religious ones are protected under Title VII of the Civil Rights Act and equivalent state-based laws protecting religious rights.
So if your religious rights or, you know, your rights as somebody who might have a disability but has something that disallows them from getting a vaccine, you can't be fired, right?
Right. Well, you can't be fired unless there is no other way to accommodate that individual, which is going to be, I think, hard for employers not to find a way to accommodate that individual, because the EEOC has said if someone refuses to take the vaccine because of an underlying disability or health condition, your first step under the law is to work with that person to find another way that they can continue doing their job and not impact the health of others. And there are a lot of options. You know, there's social distancing, there's working remotely, there's wearing masks or other protective equipment. So, you know, there are choices out there that could be adopted. and agreed to by the employer and employee to help them not have to get the vaccine, but still keep other employees safe.
You mentioned they can be exempted from the workplace, which to me sounds like, while firing may be kind of the last resort, you can require that people entering your facilities get the vaccine.
Yes, you can make that a policy. Again, if there are people who have those objections that are legally protected, you know, that you have to be able to accommodate them so that they can still do their job. The law, you know, of course, recognizes that in some accommodations might pose an undue hardship, significant financial requirements for the employer to meet reasonable accommodations and make the job almost impossible to do if with those types of reasonable accommodations. Those would be undue hardship. And so after going through the iterative process with the employee to find a way to help that employee still be able to do their job, but not have to take the vaccine if it was required by the employer, they can't find that alternative without causing undue hardship on the employer. Then, you know, the next step might be to just exclude them from the workplace. You know, there's still family leave laws that might come into effect or other types of leave policies that might take effect at that point. But, you know, termination, I wouldn't say it's impossible, but it's there's a long road before you can get there.
You know, you mentioned that some of the exemptions are because of health reasons. There are people who can't get vaccines. I know one of the complications that is relatively common is an allergy to eggs. There are a variety of things that can cause you to have an adverse reaction to vaccines. That being said, the other exemption that you mentioned is religious. That gets into a kind of murkier area. You can prove pretty easily that you have an allergy. Do you have to prove that you are part of a religious group that doesn't believe in vaccines?
Well, the EEOC in its guidance that it issued last month said that employers would be wise to just assume that when someone raises a religious exception request, that it's a sincerely held religious belief. But as you point out, Joy, you know, religion can be very subjective, and there are religions out there that people have that are not in the mainstream, if you will, that are not familiar to everyone. And so, you know, the employer should take them at their word, but if they need additional evidence or explanation, they can ask for it from the employee. And there have been lawsuits in the past, you know, particularly in healthcare settings where mandatory flu vaccines, for example, is commonplace, where employees have raised religious objections on the flu vaccine mandate. And courts have been split as far as their willingness to side with the employee on the sincerity of their religious belief. In one case, there was an objection by an employee, and he claimed very loosely that it was tied to a religious belief. And the court in that case did not find that his belief was sincerely held. They closely examined the employee's statements about his religious beliefs and didn't find them to be credible, that it was a sincerely held, life-changing kind of religion for that case. There was another case, though, where an employee was a vegan and objected to the flu vaccine because of vegan beliefs, and there was substances in the vaccine that would have countered those vegan beliefs. And in that case, the employee prevailed, and the court sided with the employee, saying that veganism could be treated like a religious belief. So it really, when it comes to religious objections and the subjectivity of, you know, a lot of those objections, the courts, it's kind of a toss up on what the court might do.
That's interesting because vaccines are actually made out of the blood of horseshoe crabs. So it would seem that if you were a vegan, you might take issue with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was that one lawsuit that I mentioned. That's exactly was the facts in that case.
I don't believe they're killed in the process, I should say. They are harvested for a bit and then released back into the ocean, but it is their blood. Now, this gets to a big question that I think a lot of people who do plan to get the vaccine and return to work are really asking themselves. Can an employer reveal whether or not their employees have been vaccinated so they inform their other employees of their own personal risk?
Yeah, well, and the EEOC had released guidance when COVID testing, you know, was first coming on board, you know, less than a year ago, about whether if someone tested positive in the workplace, can employers reveal that information to employees who may have been in contact with that person? And the EEOC had guided employers that, you know, to the extent you don't have to reveal names, but just warn individuals who may have been in contact with that person that they could be at risk so they could get tested. That would be best, because what you're asking really lends itself again to the Americans with Disabilities Act, which requires employers to keep employee medical information confidential and separate from their regular employee records. And so revealing whether someone has received a vaccine, just as if they had tested positive, is medical information. And that information by law should be kept confidential. So employers shouldn't be revealing names. You know, that would be the guidance from the EEOC, is to reveal the information that's necessary to protect your workforce. And it's questionable whether revealing a name is necessary in a lot of circumstances. And the other piece that I don't think we talked about that makes this, the COVID vaccine, the mandating of the COVID vaccine, a bit more risky from a legal standpoint, is the fact that it's not been really fully vetted like a lot of vaccines in the past that were subject to lawsuits have been tested over years. You know, the science is absolutely clear about the benefits versus the risks. And, you know, we don't have the benefit of a long testing period. And so the FDA has authorized the use of the vaccine, the COVID vaccine, under emergency use authorization, because, you know, it hasn't had the same kind of years-long testing process that other vaccines have gone through.
All right. Well, Barbara, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect and sharing your work.
Thank you so much for having me.
Barbara Zabawa is a clinical assistant professor and MHA program co-director at UW-Milwaukee. She's also the author of The Tug, Finding Purpose and Joy Through Entrepreneurship,